There are 80 million Americans who have chosen to stay outside of the church. What do people outside of the church have to say about the church? Why are they on the outside rather than on the inside? Well, that fascinating question was tackled by a Lutheran theologian named J. Russell Hale. He took on a research project where, for 6 months, he sought to find out, by visiting the most unchurched counties in the United States. He interviewed in depth 165 people in these counties in California, Florida, West Virginia, Alabama, Maine, and Oregon. His findings have been published by a Roman Catholic agency in a publication entitled, Who Are the Unchurched? Now, as you know, in our news and needs this evening, we have the comments of some church people, some people who are churched here at Wooddale, on what they think of the church. Unfortunately, we couldn't begin to get all of the hundreds of comments in the news and needs. And I asked Pastor McDowell if he loaded it, because those that are published there are on the positive side. But is that right? Did you load it? He didn't load it. All right. He tells me there were some negative ones too, and I think they're going to be published and posted out in the bulletin board, so don't worry, yours is there. You can go and check yours out and see those others that are included. What do the unchurched people have to say? Well, some things like this. They said that they can see no difference between church members and other people. They said churches are cold and harsh and always after money. They said the churches neglect and even are guilty of discrimination. They said that churches are for the in people and for the affluent. They said there are too many rules and regulations. They said the reason that they don't go to church is because of this and because of overexposure to the church during formative years. Now, as I read these and other comments, I thought to myself, oh, how they misunderstand. They don't know. They don't know what the church is, much less what it's all about. But then I often wonder if many of us as Christians, many of us who really are part of this church, which is here being critiqued and in fact criticized, if we really understand what the church is and what the church is all about. After all, don't we often make the mistake of thinking of the church as where we are or what we do instead of thinking of the church as what we are? The church is not a building. The church is not an organization. The church is not a program. The church is not an activity. The church is the body of Jesus Christ. But it seems as if so much of our conversation and so much of our thought mitigates against our really thinking and understanding the church the way the Bible intends. Don't we say we're going to church and the church is there and the church says this and the church says that? How could we better instruct ourselves and others to shape our mind to the model of the New Testament as to what the Church of Jesus Christ really is? But how could we do that? How could we imprint it on our minds to really see what the church is and have that kind of terminology? Well, it seems to me that there is no one who could better instruct us in that than Jesus Christ himself. Could we imagine for just a few moments tonight what it would be like if Jesus himself were to write to us a letter? A letter that would tell to us what he says about the church. A letter from Jesus that was written exclusively to us. A letter that would start out, Dear Wooddale Church, I love you. Oh, how I love you. I die for you. That's how much I love you.
So you know that what I write
is based on my deep, deep love for every one of you. Please listen carefully to what I have written. My father sent me into the world many years ago. Although I had lived forever before that time, I had never before had a body. That's right. I was totally spirit, without any body of any kind. My father then gave a body to me. You've read in Hebrews 10 exactly what I said as I came into your world. I said, "Sacrifices and offerings thou hast not desired, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings thou hast no pleasure." And then I said, "Lo, I have come to do thy will, O God, as it is written of me in the roll of the book." That was a new experience for me, having a body, hands, feet, legs, arms, lips, eyes. Honestly, it was quite limiting. But that was the way my father said I was to serve him, and so I did. I did everything through my body. I taught, I loved, I healed, I ate, I slept, I cried, I suffered, I died. I rose again, all in my new physical body. My father was so pleased. He kept saying, "Well done, my son, well done." In fact, everything he wanted me to do, I did through that body that he gave to me. Then my father called me back to heaven. What a joy. What a joy to again live in the warm fellowship of my heavenly home. I was glad to be back, but my work on earth was not yet finished. There were people to reach, lives to be changed, nations to be won. I had come to serve my Father on earth, and now I was back in heaven, and there was still more service to do. Do you know what my father then said? He said, "My son, I'm going to give to you a second body." And he did. He gave to me a second body with hands and feet and legs and arms and lips and eyes. It is a second body to accomplish just the same thing as my first body, doing the will of God and serving Him. Do you know what I chose to name my second body? I called it the church. It's made up of a lot of different members whom I love and for whom I died. It is through them that I speak. It is through them that I love. It is through them that I reach people and change their lives. But wait a minute. I want you to know that the them is you. You are my body. You are my hands and my eyes. You are my feet and my ears. You are my mouth and my heart. You are my church. Oh, I know that sometimes you have been confused to think that the church is that building where you meet, or the organization, or a denomination, or something like that. But really, it's none of these. No, it's none of these at all. You are my body, the church. My second body is you. I hope you understand. This is so very important to me, and so very important to you. And I hope that as you understand, you'll do what I want you to do. I have three simple requests. One, follow me. You're the body. I am the head. The only way that we will do the will of my Father
is for the body to completely obey the head. Don't follow your pastor. He's a sinner just like you. Don't give your primary allegiance to your leaders. They're just my agents. Don't do what you want to do and follow yourselves. My body is no more a democracy than your body. Follow me. Will you do that? Will you acknowledge me as your head and will you follow me? I'm not just asking you individually, but I'm asking you as a body. Will you let me be your Lord, your head, your leader? Second, think body. Please don't be so individualistic. Surely you know that I love each one of you as individual persons. But I ask you to first of all think of yourselves as part of my body. Always think collectively when you think about prayer. And pray together often. Always think collectively when you set your lifestyle and be disciples together. Even think collectively in terms of evangelism, making your witness for me a shared project together. You would make me so happy if you would think body in your church. Emphasize body. Talk about belonging to one another. Recognize that you are one for all and all for one. Third, behave as I behave. You see, your behavior is the way people see me. After all, you are my body. Follow the example I gave you in the Bible. I want you to love one another just as I love you. I want you to live a holy life just as I lived. I want you to be servants just as I was a servant. Do you see? Sometimes, some of you haven't loved each other. Sometimes, you've wanted to do things your way instead of my way. Sometimes you've wanted other people to serve you rather than you're serving them. But now that you understand that you are my body, that'll be all different. It'll be changed, won't it? From now on, you'll take your instructions from the head and you'll behave as I behave. Well, my letter has been long, so I must soon close. I do so hope that you understand all that I've been writing. It's like, well, it's like you and your body. In one sense, you think of yourself as being separate from your body. But most of the time, you can't separate who you are from the body you occupy. That's why you're so careful about the way you look and about the way you act. That's why you take such good care of your body. Will you do the same for my body? Take care for how it looks. Be careful about its behavior. Make sure that it does what I say and that it accomplishes my Father's will. Remember. Remember that you are the only body I have on earth. With all my love, Jesus Christ.